Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Big Daddy Labrador. Today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, February 22nd, 2026. Quick disclaimer, today's episode is also rated R and F. The F is for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. All right, sticking with tradition, I am sending out a shout out to all you listeners. And I'm going to ask you to give yourselves a round of applause. I'm not just trying to, it's a thing I do is because if you're part of my target demographic, you're probably the kind of person who, applauds everyone except your own selves. So this is just a reminder to, be kind to yourself. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Yay! That's right, welcome. And that includes those of you who may have clicked on this podcast by mistake, thinking I was the other Shut Up Podcast. Now, if you leave, I don't understand. I won't take it personally. But if you stick around, I'm grateful. And here's hoping that I say something on this episode that... that resonates and allows us to make history. Reminder, shutuppodcast.com is the website. And shutuppodcast411@gmail.com is the email address. Yo, I'm really loving this new this new mic stand that I got. I think I was about to return it. It doesn't even make noise when I move it. All right, sorry, focus. Episode 324, excuse me, 324. And I will be talking about putting a finger in your butt. No. Sorry. I was going to talk about that. I'm going to save that for the next episode. I'll keep you in suspense. And in today's episode, I will be talking about my time at the time I spent at VirtuousCon. You can Google it in advance if you need, but I'll tell you all about it. But before we do that, we're going to do some quotables and some randomness. I am a nerd. Oh my God. All right. Okay. I will get to that. I will focus on that. All right. So let's start with quotables. First one on the list. Oh, this one really got my attention. It's by Albert Einstein. It said, "Mankind invented the atomic bomb, but no mouse would ever build a mousetrap." And the question is, why not? Why not? I mean, if y'all created a mousetrap, you would take over. And that's why we're the dominant species, because we're willing to kill each other and burn down the planet. I thought it was deep. I thought it was worth reflecting on. What's wrong with us? Next quote goes... avoid certain people to protect your emotional health is not weakness, it's wisdom. I love that one. Because I would usually fall for the trap about, my immature younger self would fall for the trap, and I didn't want to go out like no punk, so I would put up with people who were unhealthy. Your emotional health. Yeah, people who are unhealthy for my mental and emotional health. And last quote, I believe there was three. The last one goes, where did I put it? Hold on a second. I got a lot of tabs. Again, I'll explain why I have a whole bunch of tabs open. Last one is, well, I guess I closed it by mistake. It goes... you've been criticizing yourself for years and it hasn't worked. Try approving of yourself and see what happens. Louise Hay. I thought that was deep. All right. Okay. That's it for quotables. Now for some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Okay. First one. Right. I meant to record this episode on Wednesday, which I believe was on the 17th. And I just noted down that that's Huey P. Newton's birthday. And so happy birthday. Rest in power. Rest in peace, Brother Newton. Excuse me. Oh, you know it's wild? The 17th. That was a Tuesday. No. Wait. Hold on. Let me just make sure I get this right. 17th was a... The 17th was a... I hate when I leave you guys in suspense like this. Yeah, it was a Tuesday. Okay, yeah. So on a Tuesday, it was also Lunar New Year. And... Mardi Gras, and so a lot going on spiritual-wise. So the next day, if you're Catholic, you're starting Lent, and if you're Muslim, you're it's the day one of Ramadan. Well, I believe. Well, my point is, it's been a busy week for spiritual folks. Oh, and right, and the other note that I'm making is that yesterday, February 21st, was the death anniversary of Brother Malcolm X.
You must learn.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
All right. All right. This one I will be talking about this is pretty much my week. The conflict, the struggles of being a Black Canadian. The difficulty of being a Black Canadian. Let me just try to help you out. All right. So we I guess fuck the suspense. Canada lost. The women and the men's hockey team both won silver. I guess I should acknowledge that before I see something. Yay! But we really wanted gold. And it's not really the gold, it's more not losing to the fucking United States. Not in this political climate. Losing in to the United States, especially in this with Donald Trump as president, I feel it's like is equivalent to it's Jesse Owens. Excuse me. Yes, it'd be like Jesse Owens losing that race in Berlin. In front of Hitler. See, hey, nigger. See, we thought we knew you were doing it. You know what I mean? That's how it feels. I mean, you know, disrespect to Black Americans. I'm not disrespecting the accomplishment of Jesse Owens. But I'm saying in Canada, it's kind of somber about, look, man, we were all around the television. All of us, man. We were at work. I was at work and I was in a meeting. And I'm gonna use it allegedly because I ain't no snitch. But I was in a meeting. and the three people I was on MS Team calls on, right? They were all had the TV right beside us. So I'm talking, and you're like, yeah, we did it, yeah. You know what I mean? All three of them would be like, yeah. I'm like, what the fuck's going on? We got the TV on. Like, oops. And I'm realizing that I just admitted that I wasn't watching the game. You know, in this country, you can get deported for not watching hockey. True fact. Look it up. Don't look it up. Anyways, so I've always loved this. This is my growing up Canadian, right? The camaraderie of people coming together as one. We all set our differences aside, and watch a good old-fashioned hockey game, and especially when it's against a team you want to lose. you want to win. But I've always known, okay, seriously, man. Look, I don't know, man. I imagine, like, for Americans, they have a lot of fond memories of growing up probably watching football with their family and things like that, whatever. But for us, it's hockey. I mean, even Black folks. right? You don't see you don't usually see that on the brochure. Black people watching hockey. Yes, no. There's a lot of black people. If you grew up in Canada, as a black dude, as a black person, there's a big chance you might be a fan of hockey, or if not, you are very familiar with watching the fucking game, all right? The days of, no, that's a white people shit. Nah. Black people watch hockey, all right? Now, I'm not a sports guy. I'm not a sports person. But you know what I am? I'm the bandwagon guy. What? Everyone else is doing it? Then I'm doing it. But especially when it comes to hockey, it is fun. Like, I like that I was at a meeting and everyone was watching the television, right? And like, it reminded me. I was at the gym, and after the session, I was wondering why everyone was around the television. Again, forgot. The hockey game was on, right? And I heard, yeah! I thought, there was a whole bunch of people celebrating, yeah! And I thought someone was, like, celebrating a milestone. What, someone lose weight again? Whatever, something like that. And some chick, excuse me, wake up. Some chick get engaged, what the fuck, right? And I forgot, right, the game, right? Never admit that you weren't watching a game in this country. Anyways, right? So, but it's just... call me corny. I like seeing people happy. I think that's what it is, man. I just love these moments of joy and moments, just like this brief. Let me have this brief moment of everyone is happy. Everyone around me is happy, and I'm not upset. I wish I could describe it. Anyway, I could describe the whatever, man. But yeah, as the so going back to the game that. Hold on a second. Let me figure out my levels are so high. All right. Going back to the game where, why the fuck is my level so high? Sorry, gang. I need a producer. All right. Let me, what was I saying? Yeah. Okay. So first it was the women's hockey team playing with each other. Coincidence. Both men and women's hockey team were playing against the United States. So that means a lot, especially in this political climate. Fucking Donald Trump is talking shit about, like, yo, fucking, we'll throw, shove you some tariff up their ass. By the way, I don't know if there's any, I would doubt that you're the kind of American who doesn't know how tariff works. If you listen to this podcast, I'm going to assume you know how the fuck tariffs work, and it's a tax on you. But still, with that said, all we know is, in Canada, we were just chilling. We were like, oh, man, Donald Trump winning. Oh, man, that sucked. And it's like he heard us. Because we went from no one talks about Canada to next day, man, fuck Canada. What's wrong with this guy? And yeah, where was I? Well, oh, right. Okay. All right. What was I saying? Oh, right. There's a lot of, like, resentment against the United States right now in Canada, right? All right. Now, so women's hockey team, they're playing, and it was close, you know? Like, of course, because, you know, I was at work. I didn't get a chance to see the whole game, but I did try to watch it towards the end. But long story short, they lost. Heartbroken. I'm talking like Bismarcky. Oh, snap. Guess what I saw? A fella tongue kissing my girl on the mouth. I was so in shock, my heart went down south. That's how I felt when the women's hockey team lost to the American hockey team. I was pissed. I was, oh, man. I was like throwing shit around. No, I wasn't. But I mean, you know, just to be dramatic, right? I'm like, fuck, man. Throwing shit around. Fucking calling my bookie and saying, man, fuck you. I ain't paying you shit. Click and whatever. Being destructive and I'm punching the wall and things like that. And then my friend messages me, goes, hey, there's a black woman on the American hockey team. Like, oh, fuck. And that's right there is the conflict of being a black Canadian. Because I went from being pissed to being like, oh, there's a black woman on the team. I got to recognize that. I got to acknowledge that. I got to, like, let me put it this way. This is the kind of stuff that I wouldn't tell my coworkers because they ain't trying to hear that shit. But in me, despite the fact that I was heartbroken that the Canadian women's hockey team lost. And by the way, they put up a fucking fight. They didn't give them the award. It was a fight. It was blah, blah, blah. So I'm saying, ladies, chapeau. I mean, I know you wanted to win. I know you wanted to bring us back gold. But The hockey gods did not favor it. But still, good job. Good job. All right? With that said, I have to look up, I looked up the name of the black woman on the other team, and her name is Layla Edwards. And from what I understand, she's the first black woman to I'm looking at a picture of her, looking like she's going to bite on her medal. And I'm not mad at you, sis. I'm mad at your uniform. Do you understand what I'm saying? The black side is saying, right on, man. Happy Black History Month. We did it, black people. And my Canadian side is like, shut up, nigger. Join us. And I'm conflicted. I am so conflicted. I mean, I am not against. I'm feeling two feelings at the same time. I'm feeling pride and disappointment all at the same time. And from what I understand, I believe, let me just make sure I got this. Did she really score the first goal? This is wild. The first thing Layla Edwards did before the puck dropped was look up. Not at the scoreboard, not at the Olympic banners hanging above the rink in Milan. She searched the crowd for her grandmother. Ernestine Gray, 91, had made the trip from Ohio to watch her granddaughter Olympic debut. O-H-I-O. I just found out that's what Ohio folks say. When Edward spotted her, the two exchanged a small wave carefully not to break the pregame focus. Jesus Christ, you trying to make me cry? Man, this just making me emotional. As she comes in, she's looking around, Gray told reporters. Then I say, I won't do anything to distract her. Then she did see me, and I waved to her, and then she waved back. That's some aw. Hours later, the United States beat hockey. Okay, don't fucking rub it in. Hours later, the United States beat Canada 2-1 for a gold medal. Edwards assisted on the first of the two goals that secured the win. Wow. That means she's fucking good. That's the point. She went up against the Canadian. She scored against the Canadian team. That means she's fucking good. That's like, here's my problem. I want to wear her jersey now. But I might get, I ain't trying to get deported. You know what I mean? The relatives of her friend travel. Look, okay, look. It's not that bad in Canada. Look, we're used to losing the Stanley Cup here. This is not the first time. Look, okay, I'm saying shit that I wouldn't tell this to the players because I know they're heartbroken. They ain't trying to hear, like, y'all put in a good fight, good job, and everything like that. But, I wouldn't tell them. I'm a traitor. I'm signing with the conflicted. Black Canadian, my black side or my Canadian side. They're both at war. Then the relatives. Okay, I want to. I thought I read she scored the first goal. Well, either way, good for her, man. And, from what I understand, there are no black people in, I also found out that on the women's hockey team, they also have a black player, and her name is something Nurse. Really? Did I not save her name? Oh, man. Fuck that. You guys aren't leaving with this. You guys are going to get this Black History Month lesson today. Name of the black. Her name is Sarah Nurse from Hamilton. Oh, shit. Sarah Nurse, period. And then is Hamilton, man. Hamilton is no place to fuck with. Oh, my God. Wow. Well, good for you. All right, so there are two black women on who played on that ice. And on the Canadian side, it's Sarah Nurse. On the American side, it's Layla Edwards. And this concludes
You Must Learn.
You're welcome.
So you're a philosopher?
Yes.
Before I jump to, this is the last randomness, so I need to talk to you about, I went to a comedy show yesterday, an open mic comedy show. The reason I went is because it was like walking distance to where I live. And it's a big deal for me because since COVID, I've had this conversation with my barber, right? Since COVID, it's like I'm a born again, stay home buddy. Since COVID, I haven't been able to get back on stage to do comedy. And part of the reason I'm realizing is because lockdown had me really comfortable with staying at home. Combined with me hating people. You know, I just hated being around people. But look, man, it was just, let's call it a condition where I refused to get out of my house and be around people. Like, whatever used to motivate me to go to the clubs after COVID, that shit disappeared. And I was thinking, anyway, so it was a big deal for me to, small steps. I've been telling myself, let's just go to a comedy show so I could get back into the spirit of things. And it was always been a struggle to get myself to get off my keister. Do black people say keister? Anyway, get off my keister and go to a comedy show. And when I saw that there was an open mic comedy show, I didn't participate. I just attended. That's how I do. I attend. When I saw that was one that was like walking distance from my place, I'm like, yo, that's Muhammad coming to the mountain, or the mountain coming to Muhammad. Do you know what I mean? I'm not sure if that's a racist expression, but the point is, or blasphemous, but the point is, I pretty much didn't have a reason not to go. And I also included my homegirl to go with me, and because she's a busybody, so she's down with hanging out. So she was my insurance that I usually, anytime I make plans to go out, when the time comes to go out, I stay the fuck home. So I made sure, I said, hey, you down to go? Because I knew she was going to hold me accountable to go. So we go to this show, right? And let me, spoiler alert, it fucking sucked. It was awful. Oh my God. Now, don't get me wrong, I don't regret going out, but I did not have a good time. And here's the positive takeaway from that moment, right? Is I had a revelation, and it was a free show, so you get what you pay for, right? And it was a free show, so it's all amateur comics. And now, what I gotta say is, yes, it was the worst comedy show I've been to, but it's not, again, open mic shows, you're not paying for quality, you know, 9 times 10, you're just too drunk to give a fuck about who's on stage. And it's also in a bar setting, so you can hear the bartender talking to some customer in the background, and you hear the comic on stage getting some mediocre laughter. But here's the truth, right? But I kind of set myself up, knew that it was going to be a disappointment, because I looked on the flyer and saw that it's white guys, white guys, white guys, white guys, white guys. This is an Ottawa thing, right? Now, I am not trying to say, I am not racist enough to say that white men can't make jokes. White men aren't funny. That's not what I'm saying. But a significant part of them are fucking boring. Holy shit. And it's not just the boring, but have this entitlement to your laughter. Like, they'll go on stage and they'll, and this is what I mean by white guys specifically, right? They'll go on stage and they'll put themselves out as an edgelord. Is that the word, edgelord? Or as an edgy comic. And they'll say, like, you know, if you're into that edgy shit, if you're a pussy, then get the fuck out, right? So they'll make whatever whack-ass joke, mediocre laughter getting joke, and then they'll be, well, you offended? Nah, it's not funny. To them, not funny. Oh, so you're offended? You know, like, it's, if you don't laugh, you're being a pussy, as opposed to your joke sucked. So they have this entitlement to your laughter. Their feelings get hurt, and all of a sudden, oh, you and that whoop D, whatever, man. It's a frustration that I had with white comics. But that's not really the revelation that I'm bringing up is I was realizing that What made the night worse for me was the fact that I invited a friend to this event. I subjected a friend of mine to this. I felt so bad that I was willing to pay for dinner. Luckily for me, she was a sport about it. She was cool to, like, she was entertained. She managed to entertain herself on how badly of a time it was. Don't get me, there was a few ha-ha and a few chuckles here, a few of that, but there was a lot of, like, oh, shit. The way she summarized it, because all the men did dick jokes. The women did jokes that related to them. It was an interesting observation. But getting back to the fact that I subjected a friend to this event, I didn't give her a warning that, hey, this is an open mic thing, so, you know, don't expect like Chappelle and I'm trying to be diverse in my holy shit, I'm blanking out on white comedian's name. Are you serious? Jesus Christ. Comedians. fuck Seinfeld. Fuck Gervais. Jesus Christ. Bill Burr. Oh my God. Damn, a lot of my favorite white comics have broken my heart. Holy, if I'm going through the list, focus. Right, so I don't expect Bill Burr, a bunch of Bill Burrs on there, man. There's some wannabe Bill Burr. What's the name of that dude who died? And whatever, man. Here was the revelation. I gave you this long setup to say that the revelation was this. Realizing me feeling bad that I subjected my friend to this comedy show, even though she was a good sport about it, had me thinking about all the times I submitted myself to those same shows, same bad shows, and I forced myself there. And I always stayed till the end because in my mind we were like, this is like a fraternity, a brotherhood, a camaraderie. We're all in this together. Comic. I was treating it like a Toastmaster club. You stayed for my set. I'm gonna stay to support your set, and I would support the comics even though they sucked, even though they said some whack, some stupid. Oh my God! Don't get the black jokes were. Oh. The black jokes were too stupid to be offensive. It was too, oh my God. It was, I wanted to smack, like I wanted to smack someone for the joke and not the black side, the comedian side in me. It's like, dude, you thought that was a punchline? Okay, focus. I was thinking of all the times that I've gone to terrible open mic shows, pretended like I had a good time and went home. And I'm realizing maybe that's part of the reason why I've been hating going to comedy shows. Like, I've been telling people how much I hate the grind. I used to love going on stage, but I used to love comedy. I just hate the business of comedy. And part of that business was you're constantly going to open mics to test your shit and harness your craft or whatever you call it. And I never paid attention to my body saying, yo, this shit suck. There are comics. I used to take offense to comics who would do their set and then leave right after. I thought, whoa, how selfish of you, man. You stick around, man. Like, we heard you. You come to hear us. And I was oblivious of the fact that, no, some folks are, like, mental health. For their mental sanity, it's like, it's best for me to leave. Maybe they didn't like being around people. Maybe that's what it was. They loved doing their set, but the introvert in them was like, their social battery was dead. Like, it's okay to leave. Now, I'm purposely not telling you the name of the comedy show that I attended because, again, it's open mic. It's hit and miss. Most of the time, it's miss. But I'll tell you what really makes open mic shows suck. past the bad jokes, past the weak jokes, past the zero effort. It's motherfuckers going on stage for their own and make their for their own, like, for their own ego. They're not there to serve you. They're not there to make you laugh. They're there to make themselves feel good. It's a little distraction. It's that bothered me, man. And that's the thing about, you know, some your favorite performer. Your favorite performer is on stage saying, "Yo, I'm gonna rip this shit." The worst performers are the ones that are like, "Yo, you serve me. You laugh to make me feel good. I'm putting zero effort. I'm just going to like yawn and y'all better laugh. Like y'all better like act like it's the most entertaining shit you've heard." So yeah, man, I was very disappointed. But anyways, yeah, this is like conversation with my therapist, but it's the realization that part of the reasons why it's been hard for me to get back into comedy is because of nights like yesterday. And the worst part is how I would force myself to stick around or attend these shows. So lesson learned. Lesson learned. Wow, I went on a rant. I went on a rant. That was a rant. All right, okay. Yeah, and the whole politics is, yeah, man. I think if I get back to the state, I'm just going to have to be a straight shooter. You work on that part as a straight shooter. It's like, yeah, dude, you're whack. You're whack. Your girl's a hoe. You're whack. Your girl's a hoe. Wait, how's it going? You're whack. You're twisted. Your girl's a hoe. You broke the kid. You broke the kid 8 years. And everybody knows. There we go. Yeah. I'm going to have to let him have it. Let him have it. Just, I mean, don't be mean, but just being like, I would be that guy who would listen to people's whack-ass demo tapes and be like, yeah, it's all right. It's good. But maybe I just, yeah. Because I wouldn't want that for myself. I don't want to be mean. But I don't want to go for what I did yesterday. Like, that's what would have made the night worse. If my friend was there and then, and then the comics would show up to me and be like, "Hey, what'd you think of my set?" And I'm like, "It was all right. Me and my friend, we were amazed. Oh, my God. We're all wondering how the fuck do you not have your own special." All right, that's it for Quotable and Randomness. Let's jump. What's the time? Oh, shit, I forgot. Okay, I got to watch Knights of the Seven Kingdoms. But, yeah, okay. So let's jump into Final Say. But before we do that, we're going to take a quick break. All right, this is the last one. I'll be sharing some unfiltered thoughts about my time at VirtuousCon, and I bet you're probably looking at me going, "What the fuck is VirtuousCon?" All right, I'm gonna straight off the website. It goes, let me enlarge the font. Okay, let me. Because I'm, putain merde, I'm getting old. VirtuousCon, I'm not sure why they call it virtuous, is an online sci-fi and comic culture convention that celebrates the excellence of BIPOC creators in speculative fiction across the media of comics, book, film, visual arts, and more. Excuse me. Our convention provides a truly interactive experience that is focused on bringing independent artists and avid fans together. VirtuousCon fans will get the chance to meet, talk with, and support indie comic book creators, adult children's fiction authors, visual artists, graphic novelists, craftsmen and women, and creators across the genre of horror, fantasy, science fiction, and everything in between. Right. Now, you're probably telling yourself that, but me, you're not a comic book nerd. You're not any of these stuff. And honestly, I went there. I'm trying to remember how I discovered this event. I know I attended, the first one I attended was the one in 2020 during COVID. That was something to do. I guess it must have showed up on my Instagram timeline or something like that. But I've been grateful since. I've been grateful. This is the second time I attend. Why didn't I attend before? This is my second time attending. And I always have a great time. And it was this year that I found myself realizing that the reason I enjoyed myself, like, I liked this event, it comes down to two things. One, feeling amongst my tribe. And two, inspiration. I love new ideas. I mean, not just any new ideas that I, like, ideas that to me, and I'm like, oh, I can work with that. That's why I read quotables. I have a quotable section. So sometimes a quote and inspires new ideas. I love feeling inspired. And that's what I get from attending these events. I don't go there as, hey, do you want to be a go? I mean, the networking aspect is cool, but it's more like to be a spectator, to ingest new ideas, to learn, to hear about new things. Look, I remember when I was in school, in college specifically, I took for granted how much coming together, how much learning I did from just random conversations with people. It's kind of powerful. No, it is powerful. Not kind of. It is powerful. And I, for instance, while I was on break, stop hitting the goddamn mic. During my break, I was listening to, actually before I started recording and during the break, I'm listening to this mix by DJ Mark Flash. I had no idea who he was. One of the panelists in one of the panel discussions that happened during the seminar. I'll talk about it later. And he's got a mix called BIS Radio Show number 1077 with Mark Flash, DTFA Underground Resistance. My point is, it's electronics music and it's fucking dope. It's dope. No idea who this guy was. He's just in the palace, just random talking, and then he says, yeah, check out my mixtape. Well, he didn't say check out my mixtape, but I saw the link and then hit play. I'm like, what the fuck is... Anyways, it was some goodness. Shit like that, man. Just like each one teach one type shit. But I will say, hands down, when I go to fill out this survey, my favorite seminars or convention panel discussions were the ones that involve AI. I put AI seminars were my favorite. Let me make sure what this link is about. I'm a funny guy. AI seminars were my favorites. It was in one of the seminars that I found myself saying, realizing that I'm amongst my tribe. And what I mean by that is I'm thinking about how, okay, look, Black people are my tribe, right? But then the older you get, you realize that we're not all created equal. Black people who are on that woke shit, who ain't on that MAGA bullshit, who ain't who ain't trying to build, who are on that, yo, this is my side, you're on, you know, I need to think this through so I could use the right words, but nerds, Black people are on that tech shit, neurodivergent Black folks who are on that nerd shit. That's part of my tribe. But where I really felt it was during a discussion about AI, and I like how the panelists were talking about how they use it as a tool, and yo, don't run from it, I know there's a lot of people who are on the anti-AI shit, but it's like, here's how... The way they were talking made me feel at home. Like, it's a way to, like, innovate ideas. It's a way to, like, think of it as a personal assistant. Again, it's a fucking tool. Use it to your advantage. Using AI, I said that I don't want to be the guy who during World War I shows up to the battlefield with a sword and the motherfucker on the other side has a tank. You know what I mean? I mean, come on. No, oh, well, fuck that. I got a sword and a horse. and maybe a rifle, a little fucking sick pistol, whatever. And a motherfucker on the other side's got a like they're like World War One battles where the general's like, nah, man, we don't need this new tech. No, fuck this high tech. And yo, brap, his whole regime wiped out in a second. I'm hoping they died with them, or they'll be like, oh wow, well maybe we do need a few upgrades. Fuck that. That discussion reminded me of the early days of the internet. Because there was resistance. There were pushback. There were all kinds of, oh shit, I love this one. When they were talking about samples and what do you call that? The usage of samples and synthesizers, and how musicians back then were like, oh, it's the end of music. It's all killing music. Shit's changing, man. Motherfuckers learn to adapt. I don't see this force of AI disappearing just because you don't like it. Nah, man. It's like, get the fuck on or get the fuck up. Oh, no. Lay down or get down or lay down. I don't want to preach to people who are like on that anti-AI shit. If that's you, I'm not going to try to convert you. I'm speaking for myself. It was nice to be amongst black folks who are like trying to get ahead of this shit. That's the other thing that I liked about this seminar. How much I didn't fucking know. The reason I'm laughing is because I remember the early days of the internet. I have these fond memories, right? The early days of the internet, it was just starting out. And I was convinced I was the only black person who had discovered the internet because, again, this is before social media and things like that, right? But this is the early days of the internet, and I'm surrounded by black people who are like, man, get off that nerd shit. Man, you know what I mean? Selling these rocks, biatch. Counting these rocks, biatch. Whatever, yeah. No, not all my black friends were drug dealers. They were on that. They weren't trying to hear anything shit about technology. I remember one person, I was thinking about, yo, if we can share information like that, it's only a matter of time before you're going online to find out about what's going on tonight. What party's hitting tonight? And I remember a friend responded with, yeah, right. Like, motherfucker's gonna go on the computer to find out, to get bitches. Fuck, shut up, nerd. Whatever, man. But anyway, but I remember the early days of the internet and the resistance behind it. I remember believing that, okay, it looks like I'm Moses. I'm going to have to educate these blacks on the internet. And I was telling myself that I'm a nerd. I'm a black nerd, whatever, right? Blurred wasn't a word yet, but I was a black nerd. Then I get online and I meet other black people, and they are far more way advanced than me. I remember this one black dude telling me, actually, he lived in Ottawa, and I saw him as the neighborhood thug, the bad boy, whatever, right? And he told me how he used to run a BBS, a fucking BBS, a bulletin board service. I had to Google it. I'm not going to explain what a bulletin board service, but I'm saying that's some nerd shit. Like, all this time, I thought that I was the master. I was gonna be the Moses of black people who takes them to the promised land of this new technology called the internet, only to find out that they've been waiting for me. Fuck you mean you don't know what TCP/IP mean? Whatever, man. Anyways. So yeah, with this AI shit, I'm talking to black, even in the panelists, you got the chat room going on, and this one dude is like, yeah, I've used that, blah, like chiming in on the conversation, and I'm like, wow, there's a lot of shit I didn't know. You know what, that's, okay, day two is when I had the realization of this is my tribe, especially that AI, those AI seminars made me realize this is my tribe. Day one, I was I was thinking about how much I resent black overachievers. I've had this thing that because I had parents who would always compare me to, how come you don't? Well, they got their A, how come you don't? I used to hate black overachievers. For Black History Month, you know, for the people. We count on them, for the people. But I've always felt like you're the reason why our people are behind because of niggers like you. I had that feel. These are jokes. I mean, sure, this part half true, whatever. But I remember on day one listening to all these panelists, these black panelists, talking about their successful business. No, excuse me. They're not just talking about their business. They're talking about their award-winning business. I was getting annoyed. I'm like, man, fuck you and your accomplishments. But what's funny is, as I was starting to feel small, there was one person, I can't remember the seminar, they were just talking about how, y'all, we're not special. We're just people who just worked hard. We just essentially realizing the things that are in us that allowed us to get us to this far is in you. It's like they were reading my mind. Yeah, man, I'm not the award-winning whatever, man. I'm glad that I'm like, D's for diplomas. But look, man, overall, it was great, man. You know, shout out to the black overachievers. I'm breaking your balls. I would roast the fuck out of you out of sheer jealousy, but, you know, that's only because you're everything my parents wish I could have been. All right. You're everything my parents. Yeah, I could have been. All right. Okay. So let me just quick summarize because I'm going to wrap this up. I'm going to give you, I wrote day one and I wrote some notes that I put for that I wrote down that I'll share with you. So day one, I was late, missed the 11 o'clock session. Day one was on a Saturday because I thought the whole thing started at 12. Turns out it started at 11. Read your emails, guys. I guess that's the lesson learned. Read the emails. But the beauty is the videos for the panel discussion that I missed, they're available to be watched later. So I wasn't aware of that part, and I'm fully grateful that all the discussions that I missed, they've all been recorded and the replay are available. I'm not sure for how long, but I will be doing that. I took tomorrow off, so I'm grateful I'll be watching some of these videos. Right. So here's the list of things that I attended. It goes The Artist's Way, using AI as a tool to grow your business. I did not write down the names of the people. I did save a whole bunch of... Okay, here's what's going on. I was complaining earlier about how I have a whole bunch of tabs open. It's because what I would do is every time I go to a seminar, I would copy and paste their contact info and then click open their Instagram. Whatever link they provide, I would open it and then I'm going to look at it later. Like, maybe I should do a more filtered, more organized, structured explanation of my time with VirtuousCon. Right now I'm just freestyling. Like it ended like a few hours ago today on Sunday. I mentioned I'm recording on Sunday, right? Anyways, yeah. So The Artist's Way, using AI as a tool to grow your business. Very insightful. Again, it was love the discussion. You love hearing that how people are using AI and ways I could use it too. The State of Our Union, Rise of Empire, or the Start of a New Hope. Oh, yes, I enjoyed this seminar because one of the panelists was Ashley the Baroness. She's someone whose content, TikTok content, I've played frequently on this show. And yeah, man, it was nice seeing her, how do I say this? Normal, being herself, just smiling, laughing, cracking jokes with the panelists and everything. Because when you see on her video, she's like a, I don't know what that word is. Is it like deadpan? Like she just speaks to you. She said that I speak to my audience the way I would want someone to speak to me. But yeah, she was there. And I believe there was a quote I could have sworn there was a quote that, oh, she said, oh, yes, you have to make yourself uncomfortable. Basically, it was another one of those, I am not a special person. I've had to work hard. I've had to like make myself uncomfortable to get to the level that I am. This shit is not magic, even though I want to believe it's all magic. But yes, inspiring words. All right, okay. What else? The Algorithm of Resistance, how content creators are showing up to uplift their communities. From idea to executions, lessons and strategies of the nerd entrepreneurs. All right. Okay. One quote that I wrote down, you have to make yourself feel uncomfortable. You have to make yourself uncomfortable. This is my favorite one. This quote is by Brianna. Brianna Matthews. On Shut Up Podcast, I tend to ruin people's names, and I apologize. Right, and she said in passage, she used the words, the canvas is my diary. So she's a visual artist, and is that paints, portrait, painter? Is that a paint, a painter? She's an artist, right? And her saying that had me thinking about how this podcast is my canvas. And I had a realization that if I was an artist, this podcast would be what I'd be painting. If I was a rapper, I'd be rapping the same shit that I'm rapping on this goddamn podcast. If I was a writer, I'd be writing this shit. No, my art is this podcast. And I don't know. I don't know how to explain it except to say that I felt emboldened. Is that the word? Emboldened. I felt like this is my shit. May not have a large audience for it, but for now, it's my shit. It's my goddamn podcast. that's their motto on this podcast. What else she says? Frederick Joseph. He said he was one of the panelists leading the discussion, and he said can't tap into the totality of your talent unless you are telling the truth. Frederick Joseph. A new word that I learned, because that's what the cool kids, instead of neurodivergent, it's neurospicy. I love that. Neurospicy. I'm a neurospicy. Yes, I love that someone brought up that, yes, shout out to my fellow neurodivergent, because that's the new, again, felt like I was within my tribe. I forget who said this, but someone used the words, have the audacity to be delusional. Failure is just as inevitable as success. At the end of the day, it's just part of the process.
Message.
Know what I mean? All right. Day two. Slayer of Words. These are the sessions I attended. AI, the future is here. Now what? Historical fiction, filling the gap in Black history education. Oh, the music that forced the world into the future. I'll get back to that. And then there was live streaming of a show, TV series called The Comic Shop. And I didn't stay for long because I saw what they want. I think there was like someone sharing I think someone was sharing a screen that someone else was sharing. All this to say there was a bit of a lag, at least from my perspective, from my computer screen. There was a lag between, like, the video would go on and the sound wasn't always in sync with the video. So I stopped watching it, but I will check out this TV series, The Comic Shop. It looks interesting. A Black comic book owner, a comic shop book owner. Wow, what will they think of next? And then I love that this last one was, why is indies your side piece? Why are indies your side piece? As in, why can't you commit yourself to comic books that aren't from DC or Marvel? And what I liked about that discussion is because it reminded me, someone said that, it's like, yo, man, some of these comics may not be for you. Just like this podcast, I have I'm going for a specific target demographic. I know this podcast ain't going to be everyone's cup of tea. I'm not going for everyone. I'm going for a specific niche. I'm going for a specific target audience, and I have to figure out how to go about it. But the struggle of being an indie comic book owner reminded me of the struggle of being an owner of a podcast like this. There we go. All right. AI of the future now. Oh, right. In one of the panel discussion, Aldous Hodge was in there. Who's Aldous Hodge? He's the guy who played MC Ren in Straight Outta Compton. I mean, he's got way more accomplishment. Not Hawkeye. He played whatever, man. He's got way more accomplishment, but I remember him the most from there. And the reason I'm thinking about his role as MC Shan is because I would have never imagined that the actual actor is a chill guy. Yo, he's a fucking nerd. I would have never. The dude who played MC Ren is a fucking comic book, anime watching nerd. I wouldn't say that to his face, but I'm just saying. And he's a father, and he's a responsible adult, and stuff like that. But it was just interesting seeing him being himself, talking about. I mean, he was talking about his projects, but I remember he said, "Okay, what else you want to talk about?" He goes, "Anime." I'm like, "Wow!" It was just. look, man, it was just a great dynamic, man. There we go. AI, the future. AI, future here now. The host was Larry Holt and Classic Thomas. So one Classic Thomas suggested how when he uses AI, he'll use it to get a 360-degree contrarian view of an opinion. I thought that's powerful. As in, let's say you have an opinion that you're strong about, and it's basically, what's the opposition going to say about this opinion? I thought that's a good way to like see the enemy coming. Someone asked the question, are creatives seers or historians? Let it marinate. I'm not going to tell you what the panel said, but I just like the idea of, are we seers or historians? Another one. Someone said, used the term not reacting to white supremacy. I thought that was powerful. He could say, I'm done. He doesn't do that anymore. And I was thinking about how I start my episode with the disclaimer of this show is rated R and this episode is rated R and F, F for fuck Whitey. And it had me thinking of, like, I purposely put that there, A, for the humor, and B, also to say that I'm a black guy who grew up with white people. That's part of the, I mean, there's other messages, you know, we're decentering whiteness. But the fact that I feel the need to acknowledge that had me thinking about how much I respond to white supremacy. There's no racism in Canada. Yeah, but yet I'm constantly finding myself that playing like wax on, wax off with like dodging, like body blow, parrying with, it's like I'm constantly fighting with white supremacy. I'm constantly blocking hits from white supremacy. But it's had me thinking. And yeah, so not react to risk. And instead of doing that, celebrating my history, just focus on, instead of thinking of white people, just focus on your blackness. And yes, I brought up the music that forced the world into the future. That discussion in that chair is, it was a fascinating discussion where, and one of the guys who's talking about, his name is Mark Flash, the DJ I was just telling you about. You know, I'll put his music in the soundtrack section of today's show notes. And and he was asking a question, what music made you think about the future? Would make you, like, would inspire you to think about the future, like, in futuristic shit, right? Like, if you were making a movie about the future, what music would you use to, like, in the background? And it made me realize that, holy shit, everything that I listen to doesn't make you listen to make you think about the future. And then someone was talking, and it made me think about the Herbie Hancock, Rocket. I'm like, the whole time I was listening to that song, I always thought it was like a breakdance song. But now that I think about the video, I think it's like, yo, this dude was being futuristic and shit. Do you know what I mean? I feel like black people were not encouraged to think about the future. I'm thinking of, while they were talking, I was thinking about how Redman had an album called There Is a Dark Side. And he talks about that cosmic shit. And I was thinking about Mobb Deep. what does he say? He goes, talking about how much you get high and that crazy space shit that don't make no sense or something like that, right? But I remember they were dissing Redman for being on some, having a song about talking about the cosmic and asteroids and shit like that. Man, talk like, it's like, stop being a nerd, man. Stop being white. it is interesting. Like, the rap music that I have did not encourage When I say futuristic, I mean like, they were, I mean, of course they were, you know, stay in school and shit like that. But I mean like flying cars are shit like, you know, like the reverse of the Jetsons. Anyway, so this, the two guys talking about is how they make music with the idea of being futuristic, of sounding futuristic. Yeah, powerful. All right, I'm looking at the time. I'm seeing that I am going over here. All right, and I got to watch Night of the Seven Kingdoms. But all this to say, man, yo, Virtuous Con was dope. I look forward to filling out that survey. If, oh, man, they even upgraded the software they use to, like, to simulate the virtual convention. And, like, it had me thinking about, yo, this would be great for podcasters. Black podcasters, but you know, I'm gonna have to think about that one here. Something similar where we come together, but because I felt like, oh, and I felt like it's, it was a great way to meet people. That's my other tribe, black podcasters, but not like, yeah, black, funny, thought provoking, make you think kind of that kind of podcasters, because I'm sure there's a lot about sports. Or talking about the revolution, not the revolution, or about how, what these females need to do for us, whatever, man. Oh, these Manosphere podcasts. I mean, I know there's a lot of shit like that, but yeah, I, you know what? I'm thinking, again, unfiltered thought, had a great time, looking forward to fill out that survey. I would, I will go again next year. Look, we'll go from the comfort of my home. Oh, and I also look forward, because I did bookmark a shitload of comic books, folks, what do you want to call it? Comic book creators. What you're supposed to do is you're supposed to go to their booth and have a chat with them, but I was too timid. I would go to their booth, bookmark. And because the last time I went, I bought a shitload of comic books that I didn't read. And it's not because I can't read. It's because, one, I know my experience with comic books, and I usually rip the shit out of them. And you should see the, you know what I wish? I'm going to put this on wish list. Is an instant sale for me is posters. If you have like print shit, like it's the art that I like. I bought the comic mainly for the art. Like I might put the comics on the back of my wall and present that poster. But if they have posters, yeah, I'd be all over it. Also, I got to be careful because, you know, I'm on a budget. Times are hard. It's the month of February. You know, January just passed. But whatever, man. A lot of us are, like, climbing out of debt right now. So, but there's a lot of, like, interesting comics that I'm interested on buying. If not to read, just for the art. Just for the, yeah, the art. All right. This concludes today's episode. Hope you enjoyed as much as I enjoyed recording it. Reminder that website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. Before I end the show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who attended Virtuous Con and black folks who said yes when they heard Big Rube ask the question, are you an outcast? This episode was rated R and F. The F was for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be done with Whitey, then fuck you too. Oh, by the way, if at any point in this podcast you found yourself not liking the content or the stuff that I talked about or how I talked about it, I just want to remind you that it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn motherfucking podcast. Thank you for listening. And remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace. I'm black, y'all, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm blacker than black, and I'm black, y'all, and I'm... I am your king now!